Listen, he was bruised. And when I thought about bruised first, when I thought about it, I thought about a bruise, like a blush when something happens and you get a little bruise mark on you. But that's not the bruise that he was bruised for you. But he was bruised. Listen, listen. This word bruised means he was literally crushed. It's the same metaphor that they use for crushing grapes and crushing olives to get the juice or the oil from them. And so you have to crush them to get the essence, the true essence of the fruit out of them. And that's what Jesus endured. He was bruised for our iniquities. What is the word iniquity? Literally, it means vainness, foolishness, and nothing. Our sins, all of the issues that we have that came against him, or the word, or the will, or the way of God, Jesus was crushed for those things. Because you and I were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and participated willingly in sin, he saw all that all mankind had done, all that mankind was doing, and all that mankind would do. And so he himself was crushed like a grape or an olive so that he could pay for our iniquities. But listen to this. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, what does this mean? It means the punishment for the peace with God, the right relationship with God, was placed on him. In other words, he took a beating that was meant for you on him. Now, that was all right if he did that just for me, but you multiply that beating for me and for you and for everyone who would accept him, and then put all of that multiplied upon him. The chastisement, the punishment. In other words, everything that everyone did that was wrong and unrighteous before God and had to pay a penalty for, he paid the penalty so that they could be at peace with God. What a price. What a price. It's enough if he had to just pay for your sin or just my sin. But when you multiply everyone in this world who accepted Jesus Christ, he had to pay for the punishment of their sins by himself. And so, my brothers and sisters, the suffering is great. Let me just try and help you see it in another way, because you're kind of quiet, like you're not really understanding me here. He suffered in a Trinitarian way. He suffered in the physical flesh. He suffered in a mental capacity. And then thirdly, he suffered in a spiritual capacity. Now, all capacities in which he suffered wind up being a totality of mankind's suffering. Listen at this, because Isaiah paints the picture and he makes it clear in verses 4, 5, and 8. Listen at some of the words in his physical suffering: afflicted, beaten, bruised, cut off, killed, smitten, stricken, stripes, wounded. When you begin to look at all of these words, all of these things had something to do with the physical suffering that Jesus went through. Anybody ever been afflicted in the house? Anybody ever been beaten in the house? Anybody ever been cut off from the commonwealth of goodness of family, friends, and situations that they wanted to be a part of? Anybody ever been smitten? Listen, no matter how you fix it, you might have participated in some of these things, but you sure ain't participated in all of them. And all of these physical sufferings were a part of the payment for the penalty of mankind that Jesus himself suffered to bring us into a right relationship with the Father. It was a physical suffering. Don't ever act as if he didn't suffer. The four gospel writers depict his suffering in their four different viewpoints of his suffering. But even then, it does not capture the fullness of what he went through. Let's look at the mental suffering. Well, I didn't know Jesus suffered mentally and emotionally. Well, maybe you don't know the scripture. If you look in verse 3, verse 7, and verse 10, you'll find such words as despised, rejected, man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, oppressed. All those are mental and emotional stressors and strains, and those sufferings were just as real as the physical. When you've been despised, when folk have looked at you and didn't know you and treated you like you were nobody and nothing, when you were despised, when you tried to walk right, live right, talk right, be right, but they treated you like you were the scum of the earth, you were not worthy to be a part of them. Jesus knew all about that. It's described in the third verse. All of those realities of how he was. He was not comely, beautiful to look upon. He was not somebody that everyone adored and thought he was gracious and good looking and all that. He was somebody that they looked down upon. But all of that that he went through was not because of him, but it was because of you. Everything that made him look the way he looked was because of the ugliness he carried on him and not in him. Have you ever been rejected? Do you know how painful rejection is? Some folk can't get over rejection. Some folk never get themselves back together when they've been rejected. Some folk lose self-confidence and they lose their ability to be who they are when they're rejected. They lose their ability to understand their self-worth and self-dignity when they've been rejected because they've allowed someone else's opinion of them to think that was the end of the line. But I've learned, my brothers and sisters, if folk reject a good thing, it's because there ain't no good thing in them. And I've learned that the Lord has a way of putting his hands not only on me, but around me. So sometimes, even some of the stuff I want that ain't good for me, he'll make it reject me. You ever had somebody reject you and say, it's not, and they fix it up and they say, well, it's, I'm just not good enough for you. Let me give you a helpful holy hint. If somebody tells you they're not good enough for you, tell them thank you and move on. They've saved you a whole lot of struggle, a whole lot of suffering, a whole lot, because you're going to learn sooner or later they were right in the beginning. They weren't good enough for you, and that's why you're catching hell. They tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. You ought not want anything less than what God has for you. And I've got news for you. He wants the best for you. Some of you going around here and you're solving, talking about nobody knows the troubles I see, nobody knows. Yeah, but Jesus. He was a man of sorrow. This man had all the power in the world, but he was a man of sorrow. Sorrows. Because his sorrows, listen at this, were not his own, but ours. He dealt with our sorrows. But then for those who are grief stricken. Anybody ever dealt with grief? Some of you right now dealing with grief, sitting in here right now with grief. But I need you to know he was acquainted with grief. On a first name basis, he dealt with grief because grief couldn't deal with him. And the grief that he dealt with came from you. So here's what I need you to understand. When the enemy wanted to oppress him, he could not because there was no sin in him to oppress him. And see, many times our oppression comes from sin, and it comes from the enemy having more power over us to do what he wants to do or to keep us from doing what we ought to do. But he could not do that with Jesus. But he had to deal with all of these issues because of you. He sees what you deal with every day on your job. He sees what you deal with in your family, your spouse, your children. He sees what you deal with in your body. He sees what you deal with in every area and arena of your life. Jesus is acquainted with it. He understands it. And all of the mental sufferings he suffered, it was because he took our place. That's why you can call on him, because he knows. He understands. Not because he's gone through it, but because he has identified with yours. And he suffered what he went through taking your place. And he could not properly vindicate man if he did not get in the position of man and understand the full weight of man's sin and man's problem. So his suffering was not just physical, his suffering was not just mental and emotional, but his suffering was also spiritual. And you find that in the 11th verse when it talks about the travailing of his soul. What does that mean? He ached and moaned and groaned as a pregnant woman would in labor over our souls. Listen, he agonized over Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. He made it clear that he would that Jerusalem would come into the saving knowledge, but they would not. Because they did not know who he truly was. Listen at this. It's important to understand he suffered spiritually because at this point, the word is already clear that it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to crush him. It pleased God to destroy him for the sake of whosoever will. And my brothers and sisters, sometimes it's hard for us to see how could it please God to do this, especially when we know him as a loving heavenly Father, the only begotten of the Father, his only begotten Son. How could it please him to do this to him? But you've got to understand that there's more than one side of God, one picture of God. And at this point, it is not the Father speaking, but the judge speaking. And it pleased the judge because, listen at this, in his judicial capacity, he recognizes now that the penalty is being paid for, the sinner can be redeemed. And so it pleased God that somebody was able and worthy and willing and able to pay the penalty price for the salvation of mankind. And he said, "Oh, I'm pleased." Listen, it was his son, but in this capacity, it was the Savior. And that's why Jesus cried out on the cross, "My God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, not my Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Listen. That's spiritual suffering. That suffering was greater than any mental suffering. That suffering was greater than any physical suffering. Because heretofore, Jesus had never ever been separated from the Father.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Won't he make you down inside? He won't make you. somebody right here have called on the Lord like I did. Until they just stayed right there and called him till you got hooked. Anybody been hooked on Jesus? Why don't you come on, put your hand together. Listen to me if you please. It ain't no high like a Holy Ghost high. You need to try it sometime. No, 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 it ain't no high like a Holy Ghost high. You need to try it sometime. You need to get hooked on a high that will never let you down. Can I say it again? It ain't no high like a Holy Ghost.
Jesus. Come on, give God the praise. Come on, give God the praise. Hallelujah.
Definitely.